Chronicles, chapter 14. I should have a resurrection Easter sermon, but that's not where this goes. 1 Chronicles, chapter 14. I mentioned to the school kids last week, the books of history, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. In 1 and 2 Samuel, you learn about Samuel, Saul, and David in 1 and 2 Samuel. In 1 and 2 Kings, you learn about all the rest of the kings after David. Well, Chronicles is a shortened version. 1 Chronicles covers the same time, Samuel, Saul, and David, just like 1 and 2 Samuel does. And then 2 Chronicles is like 1 and 2 Kings. It covers all the kings after David, except for in Chronicles, it doesn't mention the kings of the northern kingdom as much. And so that kind of gives you a rundown of those books of history. In 1 and 2 Samuel, you'll learn about Samuel, Saul, and David. The same thing in 1 Chronicles, and that's where we are tonight in 1 Chronicles. And you'll find this story also in 2 Samuel if you look it up there. 1 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse 8 through 17. We'll read all those because it's one story. And when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. And David heard of it and went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand." So they came up to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. Then David said, "God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand like the breaking forth of waters." Therefore they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Therefore David inquired again of God. And God said unto him, "Go not up after them. Turn away from them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle, for God is gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even unto Gezer. And the fame of David went out into all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. I'm asking for you to bless it, Lord, that you would anoint the words that I speak, that it would bring the words of your scripture to the hearts and minds of these young people in a way that, Lord, produces in our lives what you desire. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have here in this chapter, David is now king. It says there, and when the Philistines heard that David was anointed, he's now become king. Just a few chapters before, we have the end of Saul's reign, a very troubling demise to his kingdom as he was defeated and his sons were killed on the battlefield against the Philistines, and their bodies were abused, and they were the heads of he and his sons were taken to the temples of the Philistine gods as they relished in their victory over the Israelites, and as their bodies were nailed to the walls of a certain city in mockery of the Israelites. And so it was a very troubling end to Saul's reign. As a result of that, there were a son of Saul, Ishbosheth, that decided that he should be the one to follow his father. And so there were some of Israel that went to fall in behind Ishbosheth and to follow him to be king. Abner was the general for Saul, and Abner led the armies that would stand for Ishbosheth. Of course, we know that Joab was David's general, and there was a civil war that happened. So not only are the enemies of God, the Philistines, having victory over the Israelites, but now they're fighting among themselves. It's a pretty bad situation going on. The Israelites are killing each other while they're being killed by the Philistines, and all of this turmoil and tragedy, the civil war that took place, in the end, God was able to produce what he desired to produce, which was to put David on the throne as the king. And David has finally, this has taken place. It has finally happened that all of Israel has now come under the rule of David. And David is now king. And it says the Philistines heard that David was anointed king. And so then they began to, they said, okay, well, we got to test this new king. If they think they're going to have a king, we're going to test this new king. We're going to go out and we're not going to let him get the upper hand on us. They knew who David was. They knew what kind of man he was. They knew what kind of soldier and leader that he was. And so they were not going to let any much time at all transpire before they came to try to take the authority and the victory over David. And so David is in this place of having to face the arch enemy of Israel, the Philistines, having to go out to battle against him. It says that they spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. That word Rephaim means valley of giants. David's always facing giants. He's always facing giants in the valley of Rephaim. And so I want you to notice there's two battles that are described here in this portion of Scripture that we read. Two different battles, two different times. The Philistines came up and said, we're going to have battle. This is the time. We're going to come out against Israel. There's two different battles that happen here. And you notice on both of these battles that there was something that David did. It says in verse 10 that David inquired of God. And verse 14 says, therefore David inquired again of God. This gives us the understanding. What we want to talk about tonight is we need to ask, we need to attend, and we need to act. We need to ask, we need to attend, and we need to act. David asked, he inquired of God. Now, David had been a soldier. He had led many battles. No doubt this was a situation that David probably had some idea of how to go out and make this battle work. He probably could have come up with a plan. He probably could have figured out a way to organize his armies. He could have drawn up a battle plan. He could have counted his soldiers and counted the soldiers of the Philistines. He could have decided how many swords he had, how many swords they had, how many footmen he had, how many footmen they had, how many chariots they had, how many chariots he had, how many men had full armor, how many they did. He could have made all of those counts, all of those considerations to formulate a battle plan, but he didn't do that. It says both times that he inquired of God. After winning battle the first time, the second time around, he could have said, I've got this. I think I know how to go about this. I got this. But he didn't. He recognized that in every area of his life, even the common things, to David, war was common. The Bible tells us he was a man of war. He was a... And thus, God did not allow him to build the temple. said, he's a man of war. He's not going to do this. David, very well, for him, this was a common event. This was a common situation in his life, but David understood that he needed to inquire of the Lord. He needed to bring the common things of his life to God. Now, this was a serious common thing, but he needed to ask God. We need to ask. Asking implies a desire to know. Asking implies a dependence upon someone else. If you ask, if I ask something, I'm dependent on them because I don't know something or I don't understand something. If I ask something, I am implying my dependence on them. Now, sometimes I know what the answer is, but I need to make sure. Asking implies a dependence. It implies a desire to know. And so David was willing to do that. He was a mighty warrior. No doubt he could have devised a plan, but he didn't do that. He said, I am going to inquire of the Lord. And in these Old Testament times, we can understand that it probably just wasn't a quiet prayer where he went off behind the tree and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Most likely, he went to the prophet to inquire of the Lord. He went to maybe the high priest to inquire of the Lord. And so he not only was expressing his dependence and desire to know what God's will was to himself and to God, he was most likely letting everybody else know around him that I am asking God what I need to do. I'm asking God how I need to proceed in this situation. And so he was willing to inquire of the Lord. When Saul, who was zealous as a Pharisee, he was very committed to the law. He was so committed to God in his own way that he was persecuting the church. When the Lord revealed himself to him on the road to Damascus, he finally realized what he needed to do. And he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He had been doing a whole bunch of stuff that he thought was the right way. He said, I was a Hebrew among Hebrews, zealous of the law. I could not be touched in any way whatsoever, but he was doing things his own way, making his own direction. But when the Lord arrested him on that road to Damascus, he had one question. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Wait a minute. I've been going the wrong way. I got to get this figured out. I got to make sure I know what I'm doing. The things I've figured out are not the right way. I've got to ask God. I've got to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What will you have me to do? And that's the type of attitude that you and I should have in every area of our life. I'm probably one of the most proud, egotistical individuals that any of you have ever met. I probably am. Because I know it all and I got all the right answers. Ain't that right? One year I had the boys with me. We were on a ball trip. And they were talking about David and Daniel. And Josh was in the car with me. And we were talking about disagreeing and agreeing and arguing. I don't even know why they were talking about arguing. And I said, well, the thing about agreeing is you'll have to agree with me. And they said, oh, so that's what it is. You have to agree with Brother Gilpin. We all think we got it. In our own way. But David was humble enough to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? what direction would you have me to take? And learning that lesson of humility, and learning that sometimes it comes hard to us. We learn it the hard way lots of times. We learn it the hard way, but the lesson of humility to hear, to say, Lord, I don't know. I don't know. And I need you to show me. And that's really our prayer. That's my prayer. Every time I pray for my family, I say, Lord, I don't know how to be a good dad. When I pray about the school, I say, Lord, I don't know how to be a good principal. I don't know how. And I need you to show me. David was willing to inquire of God. And we have to be that way as well. I've learned the hard way that when I make my own plans and my own ways, they don't work out quite the way I thought they would. But when I trust him, he's able to help. He's able to help. And so when you're willing to ask, it shows a humility. It shows a desire to go the right direction and to do the right thing. Your asking implies a desire. But then, after he asked, in both of those verses, after he asked, the Lord answered, and the Lord said unto him, go up, for I will deliver them into thine hands. That's verse 10. In verse 14, therefore David inquired again of God, and God said unto him, when you ask, he will answer. He will. When you ask, he will answer. The second time, verse 14, he said, go not up after them, turn away from them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. When you ask, expect an answer. I don't know how many times I've told my kids, if you don't want my answer, don't ask. And told kids at school, I appreciate you asking, but if you don't want my answer, don't ask. We do that to God. We ask God, and then we make our mind up, and then we hear God, and God, we don't listen. Listening is partially a physical ability to listen, to hear, but it's also mental assent. It's giving attention to it. And it's important for us to listen. It says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear, in the book of Revelations. He said it to all seven churches. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In Luke, Jesus was talking to his disciples. He gave the story of the parable of the seed and the sower. And the disciples didn't get it. And so they asked him a question. They said, Lord, what do these things mean? That's a good question. And so he explained it. When he got finished explaining that parable to them, he said, take heed therefore how you hear. Take heed therefore how you hear. I've just explained it. Were you listening? Were you paying attention? Are you going to learn from it? It's important for us to listen. I mentioned some of this in a chapel with the kids, and I told this joke, and for a bunch of old people in the Wednesday night service, this may be closer to home than it was to those kids in chapel. There was a gentleman who went to the doctor one day for his own checkup, and he was asking they were having their usual conversation, and he just said, I'm worried about my wife, though. I think she's losing her hearing. He said, well, what do you, and so he described a few things, he said, well, you can do a little test. Just get stand back from her, use a normal voice, and just ask her a normal question and see if she hears you. And then if she doesn't, get a little closer. If she doesn't, get her a little closer. And so he got home, and he got to about 40 feet away from her, and he said, honey, what's for dinner? No response. He got a little bit closer. She's in there in the kitchen working. He can see her, and he gets closer about 30 feet and says, honey, what's for dinner? No response. She just keeps working there at the kitchen counter. He gets about 20 feet from her. Honey, what's for dinner? No response. 10 feet. Honey, what's for dinner? No response. He finally gets right up behind her and says, honey, what's for dinner? For the fifth time, chicken. It wasn't her losing her hearing. It was him. Take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear. We all have to have a checkup on our hearing when it comes to the Lord. If I'm not careful, David could have heard the first time and the second time decided, I got this. And when God said, not go up, he could have said, yeah, I don't like that plan. I think we'll do the first plan again. It really worked good. We've got to make sure we're listening, that we're giving attention to the things that God is saying to us. And how does he speak to us? Now, David here was inquiring of the Lord, and I believe probably through either the high priest, Abiathar, maybe it was through Nathan the prophet, one of those men, that he was getting a word from the Lord. But he had to listen. And you and I have to listen as well. We need to hear what God says from this pulpit when Brother Jarvis preaches. We need to hear what God says when we open up the Word ourselves. He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks through us through the leaders that He places in our lives. He speaks to us through our conscience. As we have a conscience that's sensitive to the Holy Spirit, He speaks to us through creation. He speaks to us in lots of ways, and we've got to be willing to listen. We've got to be willing to give attention to what God says. We have to ask and attend. Hear what He says. Hear what He says and follow His words. There, I mentioned that verse in Luke. In chapter 8, when he said, take heed how you hear. And right after that, they came just a few verses later. He said again to them, when they were asking about, they told him his mother and his brethren were there. And he looked around, he answered and said to them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Hear it and do it. Hear it and do it. David asked. He attended to what God said. He listened. And then he obeyed. He obeyed. He was willing to do that. There are others that ask. Balaam asked, Lord, can I go curse the Israelites? God answered, no. But what did Balaam do? He went. He tried, but he couldn't do it. To his own demise. He disobeyed. God would not allow him to curse the Israelites. He couldn't even do it. When he opened his mouth, nothing could come out but a blessing on Israel. He asked, but he didn't listen, and he did not obey. He wasn't willing to do what God told him to do. The rich young ruler came and asked, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And they had their conversation. He heard what Jesus said, but it said he went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful. He wasn't willing to do it. David was willing to ask, and then he listened, and then he obeyed. He did what God told him to do. That's what verse 11 says. They came up, just like God said, and David smote them there. Like the breaking forth of waters. It was so easy. It was one of the easiest battles David had ever been in because God broke bad on the Philistines for him. It was like the breaking forth of water. It was just like they just fell over in front of us. God gave us the victory. In the rest of the chapter, the second time, he told him, don't go up that way. Turn away. Go on the side of the valley with these trees. And don't go out and attack straight forward like you did the last time, but you just wait. You wait until you hear the sound of the going. Wait until you hear the sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry trees. What's the old saying? Don't shoot until you see the white of their eyes. You got to wait. You got to wait. Sometimes the Lord tells us what we want to hear, and we rush out into battle, and it's a great victory, and it's exactly the way we probably would have planned it. But at other times, God's going to give a different plan, and his plan is going to be go this direction, go that way, and wait. Keep waiting. Don't go early. Keep waiting. You're going to hear a sound. A sound? What? What kind of sound? There's going to be a signal, and you're going to hear a sound of a going in the tops of the trees, and that's when you're going to know you need to go forth. God told Joshua. He said, march around those walls 7 times. What? Lord, we're fighting a big battle against a big city with big walls. You want us to march? Yep. 6 days in a row, march around those walls and don't say a word. And the 7th day, do it 7 times. And when all that's over with, here's what you're going to do. You're going to blow the horn. Yeah, that's a great plan. That's a great plan. All right, let's do that. It's exactly what it took. If we ask and he tells, we should obey. Obedience brings the power of God. Obedience brings the presence of God. Obedience brings all the host of heaven to our side. When he said, go that way and you wait, what they were waiting on, that sound of the going, that sound of a marching, the host of heaven is going to be on your side. They're going to lead out into battle. And when God is on your side, when you are obedient, his power is unleashed on your work, what he's called you to do when you are obedient to him. The walls fall down when you are obedient to him. When you step into that river, when God told you to step into that river, the waters roll back. It's obedience that brings the power of God. When you're willing to obey, God's power is revealed. God's power is demonstrated. But how many times do we find ourselves just beating the air because we're not asking, or we're not listening, or we're not obeying? God wants to show himself strong. He wants to give us the victory. He wants to do something in our midst. But we need to be willing to say, Lord, I'm going to ask what you want me to do. And I'm going to attend to it. I'm going to listen. And I'm going to obey. I'm going to act on it. At the end of this chapter, it said the fame of David went out into all the lands. They just heard how big of a victory there was. But what David knew was God had won the victory. And he knew that he wasn't going to have victory without his surrender to the Lord. He was willing to obey. In our lives, it's important for us. This was common life for a king. Battles were common life. But David knew that in the commonness of the battle, he had to be humble before God asking. He had to be listening, and he had to obey if he wanted to win the victory. And the Lord can do that for us as well. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you challenge us in lots of ways. You challenge us, Lord, to check ourselves in our humility before you and in our pride and self-will. Lord, I thank you for that. I ask you, Lord, to give us of your grace that we can have the heart that David had to hear you and to ask and to listen and, Lord, to obey in the common things of life. Lord, not making our own way, but, Lord, letting you lead, letting you guide, letting you provide us the wisdom that we need, Lord, as we continue to live for you each and every day. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.